about the ways in which God works, and we realize that we don't always understand his reasons. We think specifically this morning of the passing of Carol Mackey, and we can rejoice now that she is home with the Lord. But at the same time, we are left behind and we miss her. Our hearts are heavy that she is no longer with us. And inside of us, there is this conflict of emotion, something we can't put into words. We find ourselves in this place in our life more often than not because we don't know what it is in times like this and what we need. We find ourselves at a loss of words. The English language itself is a rather blunt tool, especially compared with other languages. But this loss of words we're going to be talking about this morning is more than simply not having a word for what we're feeling. That's because the things that we are experiencing sometimes are too big and too complex to put into words. Like I said, God works in ways we don't understand, and this week he has prepared for us a message that I think we needed to hear even before we knew we needed it. So today we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, and talking about how the Holy Spirit helps us to relate with the Father in times when we are pressed, where what we're experiencing is too much, and the comfort that we have and that we can draw from him as he provides for us. So with that in mind, I'd ask you now to please stand and open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We'll be reading verses 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Here ends the reading. Join me in prayer. Now, Father, we come before you this morning looking to be comforted by your word. Father, we pray that your word would draw us closer to you and help us better understand you, Father, and your ways. We ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, giving us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to accept the message that you have prepared for us. We pray these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. To fully understand the two verses that we're going to look at today, we need to take it into the larger context in which we find it. A few weeks ago, I had preached from the end of Romans chapter 7, where we talked about the struggle that we have with our old nature and sin while we are yet still in this world. And from that point where we realize there will be a struggle, we can look then upon the work of Christ and realize that since he has paid the price for our sins, we can now live in the freedom that he has purchased with his blood. We now live not under slavery to sin, but under freedom and grace. With the work of Christ on the cross, we have been adopted then as the children of God, looking to live in the Spirit and not by the flesh, waiting for that time when we get to be united with Christ, setting aside the corruption of this life, looking towards the glory of the next. But in this life, this time we have, when we're waiting to be called home, there will be trials and suffering that we must face, and also comfort that we have and the hope that we have been given, that in the end all things are going to work out towards the greater glory of God. But there yet remains the question of what we do in the meantime. Paul starts us off this morning by saying, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. First off, let us look then at the word likewise. Paul is comparing the Spirit's help to that of the hope that we have been given, for the two things work together. First, we know that in the end all things will work out, so we don't have to worry necessarily about the future. But also in the current time, there is help for us as well, so that we do not need to worry about the circumstances in which we find ourselves. This help that we receive then comes by means of the Holy Spirit. If we look to John chapter 14, we see that Jesus himself calls the Holy Spirit the helper. So from John chapter 14, I'll read verses 16 through 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Now, one of the express purposes of the Holy Spirit is to help us in our times of trouble. Paul here tells us that he is going to help us specifically in our weaknesses. We know Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross that we might be reconciled to God. And while he has told us he will be going back to the Father, he made sure that we wouldn't be alone. He has given us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us so that we are never alone, that we would, just as he said, never be orphans. And we are never truly alone, especially in our weakness, for God is already with us, ready and waiting to help. We ask, what weakness is it that we're prone to? Because there are many of them. And Paul tells us, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Our weakness is that we don't always know what we should pray for. When we pray, above all things, we pray first that God's will be done. But that, in and of itself, is a pretty broad statement. We wonder about specifics. How can we know by ourselves then what we should ask for? Left to our own devices, we tend to pray for things that make us happy or maybe make our lives easier. But we need to come to the realization that God is bigger than that. He wants us to be praying for our neighbors, for their care and their well-being, as well as their spiritual needs. We also need to remember to pray for the efforts of the church, not just this church, but the efforts of all churches, especially in our mission for reaching the lost. And he puts it in our hearts what we need to be praying for by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, last time I talked about the fact that there are two parts of us, just as Paul tells us, an outer being and an inner being, and of the fact that what is in our inner being is what defines us. So as children of God, we have the Holy Spirit directing our inner being. So when God puts it into us, the urge to pray, we need to listen. We also have this drawback of being limited in the scope of what we know in this life. But God is not limited like we are, so we can rely on him rather to help us and direct us as we pray. And especially when we look around us and we see people, we see them struggling with the things that we struggle with. And we need to remember to love and encourage one another by keeping each other in prayer. Or we need to remember the fact that we are one body in Christ, and when one part of us is in trouble, the rest of us are there to support each other in our trials and temptations, not only in our prayers, but in our actions as well. As much as we need the help of the Spirit to know what we need to pray for, we also need his help in finding the words. Jesus told us this. He said, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Well, sometimes when we pray, there are no words, for words often fail us. The things that we need, the things that we pray for in all our trials and tribulations are also sometimes in our blessings, so often transcend words. We feel it in our hearts, for our hearts are burdened, and we want to bring it to God, but there are no words, simply a longing to give it over to God. As Paul puts it, these are groanings. They're just too deep for words. And we wonder how God can know what we are asking for when we don't even know ourselves. And it is because he has promised here that we have this Spirit who will intercede on our behalf, that we can have assurance that God knows what we need. And he said, "And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." So God knows our hearts then by the power of the Holy Spirit that is within us. This knowledge is an intimate thing in itself, too deep for words. And we are told in the Bible that God knows the numbers of the hairs on our heads, but that's simply a number. Greater than this, though, that we know is his knowledge of our hearts, even deeper than we might understand ourselves. We ask why this is important. When we pray, we give things over to God. We tell him that when we trust in him and his power to make all things work together for the greater good. And when we give it over to God, we have an assurance that even if what we need is too deep for words, there will be an answer from God. And there is hope and there is comfort in the sure knowledge that we have been taken care of, that we have not been abandoned by God in our time of need, but have been wholly swaddled in his protective hands. So in our anguish in this life, in our pain, in our fear, in our angst, in our doubt, and our sadness, when we come to the end of ourselves, we find finally that we end and we can see God before us and his promises of his strength to overcome. And if we look then at verse 28, Paul said this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And it can be hard for us at times when we look at situations in our life and when we find ourselves in and still hold these words close, but we find with time and prayer that we can continue with him in trust. And Paul also admonishes us in his first letter to the Thessalonians. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." He says, "Do not quench the Spirit." And again with this in Romans chapter 5, he says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Spirit's work in us in overcoming our weakness is that we can have peace and hope, knowing that the Spirit is the means by which God pours his love into our hearts. And these things that we have when we look at the need for prayer and the blessings we receive with it are things that are not purchased by our actions, but something that is done on our behalf. Notice then in these verses that Paul uses the verb intercedes both times. And this is an active noun, one that precludes any doing on our part and wholly rests in the work of the Spirit in our hearts. I've always enjoyed the fact that the word for Spirit, the Holy Spirit in the Greek, is also the same word for wind. It just depends on the context in which you use it. But the Spirit, like the wind, is something to us that continues to drive us forward in our daily walk with God. So when we find ourselves lacking in strength, when it is hard for us to carry on, we know that God will always be there to carry us through the trials that we face. So we ask, what can we take away from all that we've heard here this morning? We know that in our weakness, that in our impatience, in our selfishness, and in our limited ability, there is help for us that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life. He has promised to us to lead us in our ways in which we should pray, even if we find ourselves overcome by the burdens in our hearts. And we can have assurance that God knows us and what it is he desires from us. And in this knowledge, we can be comforted that God knows our hearts better than even we do. We can have comfort in knowing that this is all done by the power of the Spirit, that we don't have to put the burden on ourselves. And with this, we have the assurance that once given over to God, we know that all things will work out according to his plan. So in our lives, when we fail to see the working of God's plan for our limited ability, and when we are burdened with a heavy heart, when we find that we don't have the strength, we need to remember that there is a helper that he has given to us to overcome. I'm reminded of the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, which is one we typically sing many times in Felch. But here are some of the lyrics from it. It says, "Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul will often find relief and often escape the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer." And if you want to read more of it or sing it yourself, if you look in your hymn, it's hymn 433. So now as we finish this morning, I'd ask that you now join me in prayer, and then afterwards come together as we partake in Holy Communion, where we receive the comfort and assurance and the sure knowledge that Christ has paid the price for our sins, and that we might come together in fellowship and thank and praise God for the greatness of his works. So with that, join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you've given us of your Holy Spirit, Father, to be our helper in times of need. As we live our lives and as we encounter the many trials therein, we ask for your strength to overcome them. And as we find ourselves so often at a loss of word in our prayers, Father, we thank you that you have, and that we have full assurance that you see our hearts and know what it is that we need. And we thank you, Father, that we can give all things over to you in prayer, taking the burdens from our hearts. And we pray for the outpouring of your love by the work of the Holy Spirit, Father. We pray that his work would encourage us and help us to daily walk closer to you in all things. And ever and always, Father, we thank you for sending your only Son as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross. And we thank you that we might be blessed to be called your children. Help us, Father, to bring this message to the world. We pray these things in your name. Amen. As we've come together for communion this morning, we do not require you to be a member of the church, but if you'll notice in your bulletin and insert, we ask that you do believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that you might be able to examine yourself. And with that, we do have a few questions there printed in the bulletin. So with that, then, I'd encourage you to hear these words of institution. Dear friends in Christ, in order that you may receive this holy sacrament in a worthy manner, you should carefully consider what you must now believe and do. From the words of Christ, "This is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins," you should believe that Jesus Christ is present with his body and blood, as the words declare. From Christ's words, "For the forgiveness of sins," you should also believe that Jesus gives to you his body and blood to strengthen your assurance that your sins are forgiven. And finally, you should do as Christ commands you when he says, "Take, eat, drink of it, all of you, this and do in remembrance of me." If you believe these words of Christ and do as he has commanded you, then you have properly examined yourselves and may eat Christ's body and drink his blood in a worthy manner. You should also unite in giving thanks to Almighty God, the Father of your Lord Jesus Christ, for so great a gift, and should love one another with a pure heart, and thus, with the whole Christian church, have comfort and joy in Christ our Lord. To this end, may God the Father give you his grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At this point, I ask you to stand now and join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. I'd ask the ushers now come forward and prepare the rail.